Brother Larry looked around and said, I had to follow that. It's a good thing I'm a singer, Brother Kelly. That's a good thing, ain't it? It's a real good thing I'm not a singer. Good to be in this house. Great to be with you. And appreciate the invite, Brother Ike's extended. I'd be just proud to hear him preach. I'm still rejoicing about that word, Brother Buford, last week. Powerful word God blew on that, brother. And we're just looking forward to and trusting him to do it again. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I think that's that song has a powerful message to it. And I think that we look back and say, well, God did this for them, but he wouldn't dare do it for us. But he will.
Yes.
And not only will he, but he longs to.
Yes. Amen.
And so look with me in the 15th chapter of the book of John. We'll skip around a little bit. John 15, we'll ease around here and there, try not to keep you too long. But I do believe the Lord would say something to us this morning.
Yes.
And I don't know where you are, but I do know that God is interested in an intimate relationship with his people.
Amen.
Very, very intimate.
Amen.
Not just, you know them, they live down the road. I met them one time at the grocery store. Yeah, how many of you ever do that? Somebody says, well, you know them? I say, well, I can't put the face and name. You know, I know them, but I don't know them. We ever do that?
Yeah.
Lots of people like that with God, brother.
Yeah.
They say they know him, but they don't know him. And that's not the relationship God wants. We're going to see this, right, from the words and the mouth of the lips of the Lord Jesus.
Right.
In the 15th chapter. Boy, I love this place right here. If you got a red letter Bible, it's getting where it's all in red right through here, right? And it's all in red because the sole speaker is none other than Christ. And boy, he is sharing some things. He's getting down to the cream of the crop with his young'uns. You know, I like what Brother Ike said. Not only does God know how to raise young'uns, he ain't forgot how to birth them. And he ain't forgot how to grow them. And he ain't forgot how to bring them. And if he ain't forgot where the rod is either. And so here he's with the disciples in a very intimate way. I love the great stories of the Word of God that are, you know, they're the dramatics. I mean, they're just wow. Everybody goes, wow. But what about those intimate times with the Lord? I'll share one of those with you. It really sticks out to me. And we get there sometimes. And James and John had a very passionate mama. Now, she loved her boys. And she said, Lord, you know, I don't want much, but I would like you to think about putting my boys, one on your left hand, one on your right hand, when you get there. It wasn't too much to ask, was it? Now, give her credit where it's due. She believed what Jesus said about this whole thing of eternity.
Yeah. Amen.
And she believed it so much that maybe I could get James and John, you know, one on the left, one on the right, if it'd be all right with you, Lord.
Yeah.
And so he looked at the boys. And he said, are you able to drink of this cup that I'm going to drink? And they said, we're able. They wasn't kidding, was they? No, James. Acts chapter 12, James was killed. James, the brother of John, was killed with the sword. And then we find it, of course, that John's life went out as it did. And he was recorded as the only disciple, the only apostle, who did not die a martyr's death, but he's willing.
Yeah.
Hey, when you come through the boiling oil, you're willing, right?
Yeah.
And so the boiling oil didn't get him. It wasn't his fault. And it wasn't that Roman emperor's fault. They tried.
Yeah.
And so the Isle of Patmos didn't get him. But follow on, they were very intimate with the Lord, and she was wanting to know about that, and Jesus dealt with them. I love that place. But watch this in the 15th chapter. Look over to the 15th verse. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. We don't tell the hired folks what's going on in the front office. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm not calling you servants. I'm calling you, I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. Swallow that one now. You won't get it all in one gulp. It was like the big gulp. You ever go in there and want the big gulp? I don't want that little old bitty drink. I might buy it because it's cheaper, but I don't want it. I want the big gulp. And brother, here's the big gulp. that the Lord showed him, and he said, I have showed you all things. How many things? All things. What's God withheld from us? Nothing's withheld from you. All things I've made known unto you. But you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name. People wonder, why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Well, here's a good reason. And he said if we'd ask in his name, we don't dare approach the throne in our name, brother. No. No, we listen, let us be like the man in Luke 18, not the first fellow, but the second one, who would not even look up to heaven, but smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. No, we don't want to be like, have you ever noticed that first fellow? He had a pretty high opinion of himself. Actually, he stood real tall, probably pulled his shoulders back, looked up to heaven, and said, God, I'm thankful that I'm not as other men are. Now, there's a problem. That's a real problem in your prayer life when you started off like that. I'm glad I'm not like other men are, adulterers, and all of these folks like this little fellow over here to my right. He might have told the Lord. And so can you imagine that kind of prayer life? And here Jesus said, if you ask it in my name, I will do it. So what's God want? He wants us to ask great things. He wants to show us great things. Tell us great things and give us great things. We got it right here in the Word. Now, if you need another witness of that, go forward to the 16th chapter. In the 16th chapter, the 12th verse, I have said many things. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus said, I'm going to give you some of them when I get back. And so where are you going? Well, a little 3-day journey. I'm going to go and preached to the spirits in prison. First Peter said something about that. And he brought captivity captive. Ephesians 4:8 said something about that. And he gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts. And so what happened? Death couldn't hold him. And he said, when I get back, I'm going to show you some more things. But you can't bear them now. And so watch it. How be it? When he, the Spirit, capital S, Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, when he is come, he will guide you into how much truth?
All.
How much truth can I have? Christ said I can have it all.
Yeah.
All of it. Nothing's withheld from me.
Yeah.
And so watch now. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Boy, I like that, brother. There's no division in the Godhead. Brother, these three are one. I mean, they're right there together. There's no controversy. There's no contest going on in the Godhead. Who's going to be the greatest, are they?
No.
Jesus said, what I say is what he shall speak. That shall he speak. And I'm not worried. Brother Dewey Elmore preached a message a while back, many years ago. Would the real Holy Ghost please stand up? But I tell you, the real Holy Ghost is always going to speak and testify of the Lord Jesus. And if it don't glorify Christ, it is not the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
What he shall hear shall he speak.
Right.
I like that. And he will show you things to come. Could that dare be so? That the Holy Ghost could show us something that has not yet happened. Follow back to, I want to see something here in the 28th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 28. There's something about Jeremiah's life. It has to intrigue us. Has to excite us. In the 20th chapter, don't go there. I'm going to just while you flip it, share something with you quickly that you all know much about. In the 20th chapter, Jeremiah had some discouraging times in his life, did he not? And he said something like this. Now, we would never dare do nothing like this, Brother Gary, because we all way too spiritual. You know, we way more spiritual than Jeremiah was. But Jeremiah had a time when he said, then said I'll not make mention of him anymore. And I will not speak in his name. But then something happened. Something began to stir, didn't it? Yeah. Jeremiah did belong to God. Yeah. He was not his own. He's bought with a price. Yeah. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Right.
And he said, there was a fire in my heart. His word, what happened? His word began to burn. The word of God began to come. Like a burning fire shut up in my bones.
Right.
Jeremiah said, I was weary with waiting. I was weary with forbearing. I couldn't be still.
Yeah.
When he began to speak, I had to speak,
yeah,
and I had to obey him.
Yeah.
Well, it leads us up to the 28th chapter, where Jeremiah, God began to show him things and tell him things and give him things that he's going to share with some of us. Watch now in that 28th chapter. God said there's problems coming over the hill for this nation of Israel, particularly Judah. And so there's problems arising. Chapter 27, we'll give it to you quick in verses, well, flip back there. In this verse 2, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes and put them upon thy neck. And you know, Jeremiah, he was just country enough fellow to do what God said. And so he made him a wooden yoke. Could you imagine doing this? Going out to the barn. Brother Gary's building a new barn. Go out to the barn and build you a wooden yoke and put it upon your neck and walk around town with it. And so they're looking funny at Jeremiah. What's going on? He said, God said do it, because he's about to put a yoke upon the neck of Edom and Moab. God's going to put some yokes. He's going to put some yokes on some of these nations. And God's raised up a servant by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And all these nations will go with Nebuchadnezzar. And he'll rule over them. And so here we find that he's obedient to what God showed him. Now we have to be willing. If we're going to have an intimate relationship with Christ, two things have got to happen. First, we have to hear him. And second, we have to obey him.
Amen.
No, Jeremiah had both of those in this 27th chapter. And here we find it as he did, as that God told him. There was one in the bunch that had a problem with it. There's always one with a problem. And Hananiah wasn't very keen to that message that Jeremiah brought. You know, I don't have a new message this morning. I'm kind of leery of the new messages, aren't you? I don't want a new message. All things are ours. We done read that and talked about that. We don't need a new message. We just need preach the old message. All we need is the old bloodstained banner, the Lord Jesus Christ. The old bloody gospel still get the job done. And one that won't come by the way of the cross cannot come. That's what Christ said. That's his words. And so we find that Hananiah had a problem. And Hananiah, if he was one of ours today, we would say he was on the prosperity wagon. Because Hananiah ain't buying into this whole matter of going servitude to anybody. And that was Hananiah's big problem. He wasn't willing to be the servant that God said he would have to be. Watch now where this is going. Isn't that the problem with most of us, Brother Jimmy? People aren't willing to be the servant that God said. And I know what he said. I'm not calling you servant. I'm calling you friends. But we are the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not our own. And I'm glad Christ rather be my friend than be my master. But I'm going to tell you, I'm pleased to have a master, aren't you? And in May of 87, I got a brand new master.
Right.
And what Hananiah needs is a new master. And every unsaved person has to have a new master. There has to be a change in the ownership. We have to be the bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hananiah's not there. And so he don't like this whole yoke business. It's getting in the way of his prosperity preaching. And so he's got a problem with it. And watch it in the 28th chapter.
Right.
The word said it came to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, in the fourth year, the fifth month, that Hananiah showed up on the scene. Go down, you'll see him, and watch what he said. You see him there in verse 1. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broke the yoke of the king of Babylon. Did you hear who he said?
Yes.
He said, God said.
Uh-huh.
But God didn't say it.
No,
Hananiah said it. Watch his prophecy. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house. He said everything's going to be great in 2 years. Mark your calendar. 24 months, it'll all be great. God said so. But he didn't say so. Watch now, he's getting bold. I tell you, this prosperity preaching is getting good to him. You know, it's a lot of, you know, prosperity preaching is pretty popular in our hour today too, brother. It's real popular because, have you watched it? Have you saw it? Have you seen it? People will not. They don't want the word of God in its purity. They don't want what thus saith the Lord. They don't want the lordship of Jesus Christ. They don't like the sovereignty of God. And because it causes them to be submissive to him that owns them, and they can't handle that, brother. That old proud flesh, you kick out the traces every time about that one. If they're not bought with a price and redeemed. And here, watch now, Hananiah comes over and he takes Jeremiah, see it here. And he says something about this yoke you got's bothered me, verse 10. And he took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and he break it. But watch now, God's done showed Jeremiah something. What did Jesus say? He said, not only am I going to call you servants no longer, but hitherto I'm calling you friends. And he said, I'm going to show you all things. And he said, the Spirit, when he comes, he's speaking to me when he gets here, when he shows up on the scene. But I'm going to tell you that Acts chapter 2 was a glorious day. But it's a glorious day in John 20 when Jesus walked in the room with the 11 and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. There was something happened right there, brother. They became the recipients of God's precious enduring spirit. And we find that those men were never the same. And Jeremiah, we got his chapter 20 experience, but something happened here in the 27th and 8th chapter, and he got a word back there in the 25th chapter that Hananiah didn't get the memo on when God said it's 70 years. Hananiah didn't take time to read Jeremiah 25. But God said it's 70 years, Brother Donnie. It's 70 years you will serve Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to serve him. And this whole taking the yoke off is good for a show, but that's about it. And God gave him a brand new yoke. Watch verse 12. A fresh word came. And he said, these things are going to happen. And I like what Jeremiah said. He said, even so do the Lord, and the Lord perform thy words. Of course, those weren't sincere words. Jeremiah making light of Hananiah. And we're getting down to the okay corral of Jeremiah's life right here. Remember, he took the yoke off his neck and broke it. And God said, I'm going to give you one he can't break. I like this, brother. You think God's sleeping at the wheel? No. He's wide awake. He's watching how much more the intimate day of the life of the believer. You say, God doesn't know what I'm dealing with. He knows. And not only does he know, but he cares. And not only might he help you, but he can. And he's willing, thank God, he's willing to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And Jeremiah, we find that God gave him a brand new yoke and said, go tell Hananiah that these things are going to happen. I took that yoke of wood and I've swapped it for a yoke of iron. And he's got the yoke of iron now and they're going to serve Nebuchadnezzar. The message hadn't changed. I think that's what vexes people who's not in love with the Lord Jesus. Now, this might be a true test for you. A true test is God in his infinite love and wisdom and mercy and his outpouring of grace. All of these things are grand and glorious, but it will not change the mind of God.
Yeah.
Won't change his plan.
No.
So if there's any plan changing, it'll have to be on our part. Won't be on his part.
Amen.
Brother, he's declared the end from the beginning. I was thinking about this Wednesday night. Malachi 3:6. This is a great verse. We all know it. For I am the Lord, I change not. Don't you like that? Now, a lot of people like to change God. They'd love to change the Lord. And they'd be happier about this whole business of serving him if he'd only change with them. God don't do like he's supposed to do in their mind. God don't change with them. But God said, it's a good thing, and I'm glad he don't change. Watch now. Because he said, if I changed, you sons of Jacob would be consumed. God said, be glad I don't change. Brother, I'll take him just like he is, won't you? I just want to be a little part of his great big plan. I'm glad he does not change. He said, because I don't change, you have mercy. If I did change, if God changed, where would we be? And watch this. He said, I got a new yoke. And he said, you go tell Hananiah what God's going to do, but you'll never see it. And tell Hananiah that I'm still God, and I'm still on the throne.
Yeah.
And this year, Hananiah, you ought to pick out a good burying spot because you won't see the brand new year.
Yeah.
Mm. God took him out, as God always can.
Yes.
So Hananiah didn't see it. But go forward a little bit. I want you to see this. We get over to the part that enlightens our heart. You know, a lot of preaching around the 29th chapter, the 11th verse. But just a few things I want you to see right here. The words of the letter. Oh, did I not read 17? So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Preacher, I'll tell God how it is, will you? It never worked out very good in the past. And it won't work out now. Won't work out in eternity.
No.
Your rebellion has to be dealt with. Rebellion was dealt with, will be dealt with.
Yes,
and submission is the only thing God acknowledges. And here the letter, the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet 29:1 sent from Jerusalem under the residue of the elders that were carried away captives under the priests and the prophets and all the people. Now I understand everybody that's carried away captive was not wanting this whole captivity deal. Nobody wants to be captive. But I want to tell you, and this is where we go back to what we were first reading, the 15th chapter, the 15th verse. Jesus said, henceforth, I'm calling you friends. I want to be the friend.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we have a friend in Him.
Yeah.
I like those songs, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Yeah.
And so what do we do? We bring our burden. And we bring our griefs. We've got somewhere to bring them, thank God.
Right.
And so what the value of a friend of the Lord Jesus. And here he said these things are coming out. And this is the brand new mandate. God said, I've got a mandate. And it lines up with what Jeremiah said in the 25th chapter. Now we said, God will show us things. Did he not show Jeremiah what would happen? He did. And he said, God will give us things. And God will bring us to places we've never known. And so what happened? Did the plan change? No, it's still 70 years. God said it's 70 years, but he said, here's what I want you to do. And so how do we live the intimate life with the Lord Jesus even when we feel we are in a captive land? Even when we feel we're strangers and pilgrims in this earth. God said, I'm going to tell you how. You build houses and dwell in them, verse 4-5. And plant gardens and take the fruit and eat the fruit of them. And take your wives and beget sons and daughters. And God said, carry on, and I want you to carry on. Watch now, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. Boy, I like this. Even in a strange land, God said, I want you to be increased and not diminished. He said, I want that people where I'm sending you. That 70-year captivity was for a reason. And the reason was they would not keep God's Sabbaths. And God said, if you won't let my land, this was not a brand new message, brother, but God gave him this message in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, did he not? He said, you let my land that I'm letting you use, free of charge, by the way, you let my land enjoy her Sabbaths. And if you won't let it enjoy her Sabbaths, I'll put you out of the land. Well, that's what God's doing. He's only keeping His word. It ought to bless us. But it wasn't blessing them, it was disheartening them. Now, watch. You do these things because I want to increase you there. And seek the peace of the city wherewith I've caused you to be carried away captives. You know, if this happened in the modern day preaching of the prosperity boys, Brother Buford, they'd all say the devil did it. When Katrina come up, that cat 4, 3, 5, whatever it was, when it came up through the Gulf, you know what I heard one of the big boys say? You'd know him if I called him name, no need in doing that. But he said the devil did it. The devil did it. Nahum didn't say the devil did it. Nahum said, the Lord has His way in the whirlwind of the storm.
Yes,
so is it the Lord's storm or the devil's storm? It's the Lord's storm, isn't it? And so that's what they would have said. They would have said, you hear because the devil did it. But no, it's God. And watch, quickly see it. We got to go. But here, watch what he said. For thus saith the Lord,
Let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you. Don't let them deceive you, verse 8. Neither hearken to your dreams, which you caused to be dreamed. Who caused them? You caused them, God said. He said, let's clarify. My dreams come from me. Your dreams come from you. And so, not everything we say God did, God did. And for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I've not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished.
Boy, I like this. You know why? Because this says God's still God, and he has not cast his people off forever. And you know, we go through hardships and hard times, and things come our way that we can't comprehend or understand. And no doubt, lots of these people didn't have anything to do with this. They were people that never remembered living in Jerusalem. They died in that land. They didn't know anything about the homeland. They heard about the homeland, heard songs about the homeland, stories about how it used to be back in the homeland, but they never got there. Wasn't their fault. Maybe they's toddlers when all this happened. Maybe they wasn't even thought of yet. Maybe this is something they inherited. Sometimes we inherit things that are not of our own doings. But God is still on our side, and God still wants his best for us. And God said, I'll visit you, watch now, verse 10, and I'll perform my good word toward you. But I'm going to tell you, even in the days of adversity, there's an intimacy with God. And God said, I still want to be intimate with my people. He said, that's my people. He won't forsake us.
Amen.
He won't leave us. He said, my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you.
Amen.
Now, I'm just happy. I don't have to know what the thoughts are, Brother Larry. I'm just happy God's thinking about me, aren't you? Aren't you just happy that you're somewhere in the mind of God? He said, I'm thinking thoughts toward you.
Amen.
I'm thinking about you. You know, people tell us that's what you say. People tell us that, and we get excited, get goose pimply. God says, I'm thinking about you. And we say, ho hum, God's thinking about me. God, the Creator.
Yeah.
He called all the stars by name. He's thinking about me.
Yeah.
It's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And until it becomes personal, I'm going to tell you, Peter, James, and John are sitting around the campfire with the Lord. And the Lord said, I ain't calling you servants no more, boys. Bless God, y'all have come with me through tribulations, trials. And now I'm calling you friends. Matter of fact, we're fitting to go down to a garden. And y'all going to sleep through all of that. But I'm still calling you friends. And I'm going to a judgment hall. And when I get there, y'all going to flee. No, we get Peter down the road because he forsook the Lord. Lord and denied the Lord. But the word said they all forsook him. Nobody showed up, brother. Nobody was present at that point. And Jesus said, I'm still going to call you friends.
Amen.
Bless God, you my friends. And he said, everything I'm going to do, I'm going to show you. That amazes me.
Yes,
isn't that what he told Jeremiah? He said, Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Now, Jeremiah wasn't always thinking right about the Lord, was he? Not always. Ready to throw the towel back in, back there in chapter 20. He's ready to say, God, I appreciate that book. Take it back. Done with it. I don't hear no more about it. I ain't going to make mention of you. I ain't going down out of the steps of the temple no more making a fool out of myself. You know what we do? He said, I ain't doing it, God. I'm done. Count me out. Take me off your list. But there's a word. A word in my heart. Jeremiah said the word of God, but I'm going to tell you, worried about you can't crowd your youngins in. Youngins won't do right. Listen, it's something about trusting the Savior. God's never had one he couldn't hem back up.
Yeah.
Luke 15 said there was a certain man had two sons, and one said, Daddy, give it all to me now. I got places to go and places to be and things to see. I got some dates waiting on me. I got to go. Then I'm going to tell you, brother, there's something about that. And the word said, now get over to the good part of that 15.
15th chapter, and it's somewhere over there, you know, over in the second paragraph in the right-hand column, if you got a Scofield, at right there along the top. And the Word said, when he came to himself, what did he do? He said, I know what I'll do. I'll go back. But I'm going to tell you, Jeremiah said, I'll go back to the Father's house. There's good things there. And I'll get my book back. And I'll begin to preach again. And God began to show him some stuff. And Hananiah done buried him, put him aside. And God said, Jeremiah, I'm still thinking thoughts toward you. I like that, brother. I'm talking about him go through the storm with you. And those men on the boat said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Carest thou not? Somebody wake up the master, bless God. The waves is out of control. You ever get like that? Wake him up. Wake up the master. But I tell you, Jeremiah's woke him up. And then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. God said, when I get done, you're going to be praying to me. You ain't going to be looking for Molech, cast your babies in the fire and put them in the furnace. No. God said, you're going to be looking for me. I know the faults I think toward you. And when I get done, verse 12, then ye shall call upon me. Boy, something about that. I was preaching this a little bit for the radio this morning. But that father, bless God, when he looked off the porch and he seen that boy coming, ragtag, long hippie hairdo, beard tattooed up, fused in iron, he had rings in his lip, rings in his nose. Seen one of them prisoners, Brother Gary, he had the whole side, I don't remember if right side or left side, the whole side of his face was one big tattoo. That might have been what he looked like, I don't know. But I'm telling you, he's coming, and Daddy spotted him. The Word of God said that he ran toward him. I'm thinking about this. This man's got to be 40-ish or 50-ish or 60-ish, depending on when he got his start. Might have took him a while to find a wife. I don't know, but he's got a boy coming. The Word of God said, Papa got up, he ran toward him. What's God do? But I tell you, he loves us with an eternal love. Yes, he and he said, you'll be thinking about me. And you'll be praying unto me. Watch this. You look at verse 12. And I will hearken unto you. Jesus preached stuff like this, folks. We don't believe it. But he said, ask what you will in my name, and it shall be given unto you. But you know what happens? We won't ask him. All power is in his hand. But we won't ask him. Let's give that prodigal credit where it's due. Bless God, he at least went back. We won't even come home. We won't take it to God in prayer. We'll sing about it, but we won't take it. Jesus said, ask. Hitherto, I like this one place where he said, hitherto ye have asked me nothing. I think it makes the Lord mad when we don't ask him. Can't you hear it in his voice? Hitherto you've asked me nothing. Well, I tell you, I think our prayers are just enough to irritate the Lord. Won't ask him. He's sitting there, bless God, ask me, and I'll hearken to you. And seek me. Watch this last two verses, maybe. 13. Ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with. Oh, there's that word all again. Listen, it's all. All who will receive him. When you seek him with all your heart, I'll be found of you, saith the Lord. I'll turn away your captivity. I'll gather you from all the nations. God said, I know how to bring you back home and from all the places whither I have driven you. I like that. As we stand this morning. Brother Ike's going to come. I want to ask you this. He wants an intimate, personal relationship with you.